It's the Three Wise Men, everybody. Hello, Lima Land. I'm Danny Holbrook, alongside Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. Gentlemen, you turned down my prom proposal last week.
Yeah, I'll ask wisely. Again. Yeah.
School's about to end. Baseball season's coming to an end. Track's coming to an end. What say you?
Well, I just can't wait to next year when it's called The Wise Man, starring Danny Holbrook. That's going to be an amazing show.
I just
show.
Hope that we can continue to be featured on your show every week, Danny. That would be amazing.
Yeah. You know, guys, I'm sure it's tough.
Oh, look, the camera went to just him.
Oh, look, how about
weird
that?
How that works.
Yeah, weird.
Beautiful white teeth, amazing. Complexion, nice salt and pepper hair.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird. At least nobody said you're 58 years old. So, yeah.
What are you talking about?
All right, gentlemen, let's get right to it. The Diamond Dave Bowen best thing we saw all week. Guys, we got a lot to choose
there
from.
There is a ton of stuff. I'll start it off. Amari Wash getting invited to the Elite 11 in California. Are you kidding me? The finals?
Yeah,
Amari is going to be there? That is so good. Hey, don't kick him the ball. When you're out there at the Elite 11, don't kick him the ball because it's going to be a touchdown. I know he's going to do great things there, and his name is just really rising in the world of recruiting. Second on my list, what a great moment for WBL baseball with Wapak going against Defiance. What a great showdown that was. Defiance got the win, but that was just one of those great games. And then last, Danny and I got to call the New Bremen Invitational. Claire Berkey, a freshman runner at Coldwater. Izzy Zahn didn't run that day for Coldwater, but Claire Berkey was absolutely
incredible.
Sensational.
Amazing.
She won the 100 meter, and she is going to be a fantastic runner for them.
I'm glad it finished. You guys just barely made it to the show.
It just finished an hour ago.
It was a long meet.
It was a long, long meet.
So for me, I'm staying on the track as well. Friday night, I was over in Shawnee for the Shawnee Invitational, a great traditional track meet in this area. Used to be the Allen County Invite. You get starting to get a couple of more teams in. It's a busy weekend for schools.
Yeah.
You got the Liberty Benton
prom everywhere.
There's a lot going on. So there's a couple teams have gone out. A couple teams have come in. Finley's now in it. Indian Lake's in it. So a lot of really good competition. But I want to shout out Jalen Regal of Elida. He ran the 300 hurdles. He ran it in 38.93. It was a new school record for Elida. That record had stood since 1989.
Wow.
And he took that down, and I'll tell you what, he was flying. Mm-hmm. And he made it look effortless. So that was really fun to watch. And then according to Ohio Mile Split, there were five elite performances in that meet. Akaius Richardson, he threw 61 feet in the shot put.
Hey.
You had Briley Cook of Spencerville. She threw 37.8 in the shot put as well. We had the Jalen Regal race I just mentioned, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this later in the show, but the other two belong to Kamari Glenn. He had four amazing races, and I'm going to talk more about him as we get a little bit later in the show.
Some names that we'll probably see down in Columbus.
100%, yep. Absolutely.
Guys, I got two I want to talk about, and not even in the high school realm. We're going Major League Baseball Friday night. My guy and Nate's guy, Hunter Green, was dialing. This guy goes 12 Ks over six innings, 114 pitches. He's 4-2 now, 253 ERA. You said it today on the radio. He's turning into the ace that we always wanted
him
to be.
He's a man of the people.
I'm telling you.
Got us pizza.
Yeah,
man of the people.
Yeah, he's really good.
Did this take place at Mediocre American Ballpark, or was this on the road? I don't.
It was in Cincinnati.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, thank
all right,
you.
All right. So,
much.
What, 1,800 people saw it?
Right. So, wow, such a hater.
Yeah,
such a hater.
You're right. You're right. PNC Park is really filled.
The number of people
they are when Paul Skeens pitches.
The number of people in the stands equates to how good a pitcher he is.
Well, come on. I mean, it's just the Reds. They're going to just tease you until like July and then this fall apart.
That's fine.
You know, he's third in the National League right now in strikeouts?
It's early May.
His last pitch in the sixth inning was 98 mile an hour.
Early May.
If he'd have went all nine, he could have had 17,
you
18 strikeouts.
By early May last year, they had four wins. We'll take it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I will say this, Danny. Let's make a wager, a gentleman's wager.
Ooh.
All right. I will say Hunter
He's
Green.
He's the one that bets.
Hunter Green will not win the Cy Young.
Well, you take – I get Hunter Green and you get the rest of the field?
I do.
That's fair.
I didn't make him my best thing I saw all week.
How about this?
I didn't turn this into Reds talk.
How about this? I say Hunter Green finishes ahead of Paul Skeens in the Cy Young voting.
Oh, I'll take that bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little QP action?
Come on.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah,
it's on.
It's good. Yeah. All right, guys. In the second one, we always talk about winning and victories and beating opponents. And one of my dear friends, Leaflees, went to the James today. And was cancer free.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Absolutely incredible.
I couldn't go with him. I told you guys.
Yeah, hey, no, rightfully so.
Yeah, I couldn't go with him, but my wife took the day off, and she texted me, and she sent me a picture of him, and she said, "Look who's cancer free."
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm telling you, man, he's near and dear to my heart.
Spiggy's great, man. I love that guy. Yeah. So congratulations,
man. Well, listen, you know, obviously, you know, Miles and I and some other people have known for a while what you've been doing for your neighbor and this battle, and you know that this is absolutely great news. I'm glad you're able to share that with us, because you know it's always bigger than you know a lot of things when people are going through that stuff, and that's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. So news.
Congratulations, Nan. It's interview time here on the Three Wise Men, and what a fantastic guest we have this week, Boog Wilson from Lima Senior High School basketball football standout. How you doing today, bud?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for spending some time with us. Look, let's get right into it. Let's talk about the football season and the basketball season as a whole. I mean, you guys were just outstanding in both sports this year, and you were a huge part of that.
I had an incredible football season. It was felt amazing to break some records, have some school records, and I'll forever be known as Lima Senior Legend. And to be able to play alongside with Sean Foster and Willie Foster on the basketball side, that was amazing as well. So I'm glad I was a part of that. And the success we had over both the seasons.
Yeah, 23 touchdowns, you were telling us before we went on the air tonight. 20 through the air and 3 on the ground, right?
Yeah, 3 on the ground, yeah.
What did you like better, catching them or running them in?
Definitely catching them. Catching them was more fun. Tracking the ball down in midair, yeah, I like that more. Yeah. And running past burning defenders is pretty fun.
You know, a big jump from junior year to senior year as far as your stats and your usage and all the things that Coach Lawrence did with you. How much fun was it, though, playing in that offense? And at what point did you realize, like, all right, I'm going to be able to thrive doing what we do as a team?
I knew, like, junior year, because I took a year, sophomore year, I didn't play football at all. Right. But I knew, like, junior year, I wasn't sure how I was going to be. Like, I wasn't sure if I was going to be good at football. So I thought I was going to be, like, a little rusty. But like once I caught a pick six the first game, and then the game after that I had a punt return for a touchdown, and I also had a kick return for a touchdown. So that's when I was like, he needs to get the ball in my hands ASAP. And I guess it took Coach Lawrence a year to realize that. No, I'm not throwing shots at Coach Lawrence. But then next year, he made sure to revolve the offense around me, and I succeeded.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not throwing shots at Coach Lawrence, because Coach Lawrence realized the same thing. I have to get the ball in Book's hands.
Yeah.
He did that, and I mean, and through the majority of the season, and I don't remember exactly where you landed, but I know for a big majority of the year, you were number one in the country in receiving yards. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, obviously, he saw the same thing that you knew you were capable of doing, and, you know, they found a way to make sure that you were heavily involved in the offense.
Yeah. And I'm glad they did that, because I knew I wanted to play offense the whole time. I'm not going to lie. But I just wanted to do whatever was best for the team. So my junior year, I didn't mind playing defense. And it was all overall fun. So.
Now, as an old guy, because you guessed I was 58 years old earlier.
It was a great guess. It was a great guess. It was a great guess.
The best guess we've had all year.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he nailed it. I was surprised you weren't 58.
I thought you were 58.
I've known you for a long time. I thought you were 58.
I want to know how he caught all those balls with bad vision.
I just have 20/20.
He's the smartest guy in the room. He said you were 58. I'm going with it.
Yep, I believe him.
So Boog, as a former lineman, I never got an opportunity to score a touchdown, right? Walk us through that feeling. Not just 23, but just one. What is that? You're in the open. You know you're running away from everybody, and you're going to score a touchdown. What is that moment like?
To be honest, I'm used to it. But like my first touchdown, it felt amazing. Like it's like a feeling of joy. I don't know. It makes you happy. I'll say that. And I don't know what to say, but. I'm so used to it. I don't know what to say. So, yeah.
Nice problem to have.
That's awesome.
You know, along those lines, though, you know, obviously it's nice to be so good at football that you're used to scoring, and especially in the offense that Lima Senior plays. It's wide open. It's run and gun. They get the ball in your hands. You do a ton of scoring. But at a certain point, I mean, does it slow down for you? I mean, what's it like when you have the ball in your hands, whether you're running it, kick returning it, catching it, and you can see the whole field, and you know that it doesn't really matter right now. I'm getting into the end zone. I mean, not a lot of people have that attribute. Does it slow down for you, or is it just the field vision? What is it that makes you so dynamic with the ball in your hands?
Really, it's always been my field vision. That's always been, like, the best aspect of my game, and people fail to realize that. And also my speed helps as well, but I do have some pretty good vision, and I can find the tightest holes and just break loose through those, and my speed will just take care of the rest of it.
That's great. So. You know, we talked a little bit about your recruiting. You know, obviously you're going to Tiffin to play college football next year. What was the recruitment process like? You know, I always tell kids, enjoy being recruited. It's only ever going to happen one time in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants you to come and play. You know, they roll out the red carpet for you. Did you enjoy the recruiting process? Was it stressful? You know, and ultimately what led you to Tiffin?
Yeah, I enjoyed it for the most part, but really, I thought some more schools were going to look at me because, like, the season I was having, I was breaking records, and I was, like, ranked, like, one in the nation in receiving yards. So, overall, my recruiting process, it was decent. I had four offers overall. I had Miami of Ohio, Youngstown State, Tiffin University, and Finley University. And overall, the reason I chose Tiffin University is because they're actually the only school that offered me as a receiver.
Okay.
All these other schools wanted me to play DB, and really? I wanted to play receiver, and I wanted to prove that I could play receiver at the next level. So I chose Tiffin University.
I believe you can.
Yeah, I believe I can.
kind of surprised that they were the only ones.
Yeah, I know.
So walk me through it, all right? I'm a former coach. I always love to figure out what guys are going through their head, all right? I know you guys were a no-huddle type team. You get the call. You line up out on the outside, and then you're surveying the whole defense and the guy that's across from me. Walk me through what's going through that process when you get the call.
In my mind, I just believe that nobody can guard me. I'll say that. That's what's going through my mind. I believe that nobody can stop me, and that's how you're supposed to think. So
When you're looking at the defensive back, are you studying how he's set up? Are you looking at what the coverage is? Or are you just looking at that guy and say, I'm running right by you?
First of all, you always want to identify the coverage. Like, right. You want to know if they're in cover three, cover two, man-to-man, and you want to see if they're on outside or inside leverage. And that depends on how I'm going to run my route, like, depending on how they're lined up.
And then he says, I'm going to run right by you.
Yeah. Boog, you go from football right into basketball, and what a season you guys had this year. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And you talked earlier about playing with some guys like Willie Foster and Sean Foster. What a starting five that was. That's going to go down as maybe one of the best all time at Lima Senior. And I know you guys were disappointed with how the season ended, but talk a little bit about the basketball season this year.
It was amazing. I would say it's definitely the most fun I had in a basketball season in a long time, especially playing along Sean, Willie Foster, and having Coach Q as a head coach, and being able to just throw the ball to the moon and seeing Sean really go dunking. It was fun. They really made my job easy, and I had a lot of fun being with those guys, and I grew up with those guys as well, so it was pretty fun for me. Yeah, I believe we finished – what was our finishing record like? It was 22-3, I want to say. Yeah, we had a pretty good season. Obviously, we came up short. Our main goal was to win state, but – it doesn't always go as planned, but I'm glad I had fun with them.
Well, I mean, you had to have fun. I mean, we had Sean and Willie in here, you know, about a month or so ago with Coach Q, and just you can tell the dynamic that they had, and they talked about the dynamic with the team. And, you know, I've known Coach Q a long time. I know you have as well. You know, when it comes to game time, there's probably nobody that's more serious, but and things like that had to be something different with just the personalities that you guys have. And I know a lot of you guys have been growing up together for a long time, and that had to make this year, even if it didn't end the way that you guys would have liked, it had to make it a special year for you guys.
Oh yeah, it definitely was. And I was always trying to push those guys and motivate them in practice, even though like it resulted in arguments sometimes, but in reality I was trying to make them better. I wasn't trying to intentionally start an argument. And obviously, you know how Coach Q is, man. He's always intense and serious. But he can play around sometimes. But I would say, like, 95% of the time, he's pretty serious. No. And
did you think about when you committed to Tiffin maybe playing basketball at Tiffin, or are you just strictly all football?
Really strictly all football. I didn't really think about playing basketball at all. But although they did ask me to play basketball.
That's why I brought that up. Because if I watched you play football, I'd be like, I got to get him on the basketball floor.
They did ask me to play, but I think that would be a lot.
We talked a lot on this show about how good of a defender you were in basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody could dribble drive by you. I mean, your ability to slide is fantastic. So I always wondered, who was the toughest guy this year for you to defend?
That's a great question, man. Let me think.
Nice.
Thank you.
For a 58-year-old
guy. For a 58-year-old guy, yeah.
Okay,
I
don't know his name, but it was a dude from Pace Academy. He was
number two. I can imagine.
He played him at Flying to the Hoop.
Yes.
It was a team out of Georgia. It was like his name, I think he was number two. I can't remember his name, but he was probably like one of the shiftiest players I regarded.
Nice.
And Anton West Whitmer, he's pretty hard. He knows how to use his body. He's not like the type to blow by you or anything, but he can. But he knows how to use his body, and he has a great jumper. So,
now, you recently played in the Ohio All-Star Game, North versus South, right? What was that like, getting a process, getting selected for that? And then, you know, you're playing against guys that are fantastic. What did you learn that week?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to play in it, as I pulled my hamstring the first day of practice down there. But to get the experience was nice. I got to meet a lot of different people, new coaches. And we went down to the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Pretty cool.
And got to experience that, and toured that. And it was pretty nice overall. Yeah, and they took care of us. We stayed in the hotel. And
when you got selected for that, what was that moment like?
It was a great feeling to be named, to be selected for the All-Star Game. That's like the top players in Ohio, so it was a blessing, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
All right, Boog, so 4 years at Lima Senior, you're on to Tiffin. I asked everybody that comes on the show this question, who's the one team that you really like to beat the most while you were at Lima Senior? Football and basketball.
Whitmer.
Whitmer, Toledo Whitmer.
Really?
Yeah.
Toledo Whitmer.
Yes. Yeah, you guys were a little salty after that game this year, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, Mansfield.
Okay. Mansfield T.Y. Senior. Tigers.
Mansfield, so. Yeah.
He's a lot of two answers, right?
Yeah.
Now, you told us you're a 49ers fan, okay? Yeah. Receivers love other receivers. There's somebody from the 49ers that you love to emulate. And why do I think Dad would say Jerry Rice, right?
Yeah. But really, currently... Brandon Ayuk, but yeah, okay. I do love Jerry Rice. But yeah. Brandon Ayuk is he's currently like one of my favorite receivers in the league. His route running is incredible, and sometimes I do watch some of his film or Devontae Adams. I watch some of their film just to get their route running.
Those are really good ones to follow.
Yeah.
You need to talk about you talked about route running, and we know how fast you are and all those things. What are some of the parts of the games? I mean, we know from watching you how good you are when on the field, but everybody knows that, you know, you can always get better. You can always improve. We're always trying to get better every time we touch the field. What's a couple of things that you specifically are going to be working on heading into college that you know that you got to kind of refine as you head into the next level?
Definitely my route running, and definitely I would say my hands, but mainly route running, because route running is like, I never played receiver before. Other than this year, I never like really been a receiver. So I just say like, get my footwork better and get my route running better.
With your speed, if you get your route running on point, you'll be the new 7-Eleven. You'll always be open.
Yeah, you see I'm capable of with the ball in my hands. So I feel like that's just natural ability. Like the ball in my hands is my natural ability. So route running, if I get the route running down, I'll be pretty dangerous. I'd say I'd be pretty hard to stop.
What are you going
to
study at Tiffin, Boo?
I'm majoring in finance.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Nice. Well, he cashes in every time he touches the ball. Coach Ekins and Coach Blair over at Tiffin, two really good offensive minds. They talked to you. You're going to be moved around a lot, or are you going to be an X receiver? What are they thinking about different ways to get you into the ball?
So far, they haven't told me much other than that I'd be playing a slot, but Coach Blair did say he wants to get the ball in my hands. He did tell me that.
All right.
So,
He's a smart guy.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, you're going in, and a lot of freshmen have trouble acclimating to, you know, college football. What if they say, Boog, we're going to redshirt you this year, get you stronger? What are you willing to do that and work hard and make this?
Yeah. I'm willing to do whatever for the team, yeah.
Oh,
I'm not a selfish guy.
Love that answer.
Yeah, I'll do whatever. About. Yeah, absolutely.
Look, you played for Coach Lawrence and Coach Q, two great personalities, right?
Yeah.
Well, compare and contrast those guys. What was it like playing for
Honestly,
those guys?
Honestly, I'll say they're two completely different people. Like, he was way more intense. Coach Lawrence is, like, way more laid back. But Coach Lawrence will get on you if you're not listening to him or you're disrespecting him. I will say that.
You got some rapid-fire questions
do.
For him?
I do, man. I got some rapid-fire questions for you, all right? Let's see how good you do here, all right? Number one, favorite route?
Post.
Yeah. Oh, really? I know it was going to be a deep route, right?
Yeah.
The post, okay. Toughest guy to guard in basketball, you already answered that one. Was there any team that was tough to play in football defensively?
Defensively. Probably Toledo Start. They game plan pretty good against us.
What'd they do to take you away?
They literally tripled and double-teamed me the whole game. So, like, it took me out the game. It didn't really – I still ended up with 199 receiving yards.
Right.
I love how you started with they took me out of the game. I only ended up with 199 yards, and they took me out of it.
I had a few explosive plays that led to those 199 yards.
You don't have to convince us. We know you.
We watch you all year.
We're just laughing when the stat sheets would come in. Who's faster than you at Lima Senior?
Nobody.
I knew that was going to be the answer. That's awesome.
Nobody at all.
All right. What is Boog backwards?
Goob.
What is the show?
What's happening?
You have to pick one quarterback, Janias Hall or Brock Purdy?
Janias Hall.
I love that one.
Man.
All right. Will you go see the movie How to Train Your Dragon?
I didn't plan on it, but now I guess I will.
And then last one for you. If Coach Lawrence was playing corner against you and they were going to throw the ball to you seven times, how many TDs do you score?
Seven. Seven. Most definitely.
Can I ask
I love you, Coach.
Go ahead. Now your dad's here tonight. Can you beat your dad on one-on-one?
Easily. He knows that.
He's laughing over there.
I'll say this. I'll give him some props. Maybe not in his prime, but now he know he can't.
Not at all. Does he score against you?
No.
Not even does he just beat him.
Have a good ride home with your dad.
Why is he leaving the studio? You might be walking home.
Goob, once you get some confidence, you're going to be fine.
He's going to Goob.
Well, Berg, thank you so much for coming in, man. Best of luck at Tiffin University. And we've really enjoyed watching you over the last few years. And it doesn't matter what you do in life. You're going to be successful. I just know it, man. The confidence, the ability. You got it all, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we actually loved watching you this past fall. And we wish you nothing but success.
Yeah, only 2 years really playing varsity level football. And what you've been able to accomplish, we'll give you 4 more years in college. We can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you.
4 years, we'll hear that. With the second pick in the NFL draft.
Second.
He's not settling for the second. I'll give you the first one.
Hopefully, that's the goal, man. That's the goal.
All right, guys, let's talk about who our Stolle superstar and our Stolle sensational team of the week is.
Yeah, so I'll start. For me, I mentioned it in the beginning segment. There were my best things of the week. I said I was going to talk a little bit more about Kamari Glenn. He is my Stolle superstar of the week. Kamari Glenn set 4 season PRs on Friday night. He ran a 48.96 in the 400 meters. He ran an 11.27 in the 100 meters, a 22.37 in the 200 meters, and then he jumped 23 feet 8 3/4 inches in the long jump. Ooh. That jump is the longest jump in Division III in the state. He's currently ranked first. Woo-hoo. He's currently ranked third in the 400 with that time that he ran on Friday night. And he's only getting faster. He was a state qualifier last year.
Four events, right?
Yeah. He every reason to believe that he's going to have an opportunity to replicate that this year, be a little bit faster. His PR is 11.22 in the 100. He's right there. He's only going to get faster. 200, he's awfully close to in as well. He had a tremendous meet for Perry. The kid is going to be an absolute stud. And, you know, every time about this time of year, I start really kind of paying attention a little bit closer to a couple of things, long jump and 4x2. My time at LCC, I coached Michael Rogers. He holds the state record in Division III.
He was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
He made you look like a good coach.
You guys are welcome.
Every time he'd take off the long jump pit, people would be there with big – go, bring him in. He never came down. He just –
But he is the state record holder currently in Division III in long jump. And then our 4x2 from the same year, Michael was a leg in that, along with a couple other runners. We have the state record in that. Only 2 times in the history of Division III has a team ran under a minute 28. We did it both times. So I always kind of start paying attention, right? Kind of seeing, is anybody going to come close for those records in jeopardy? I'm telling you right now, Kamari is putting Michael's record in jeopardy. We'll be watching very closely because especially with expanded divisions, not quite sure what will happen to all those state records right now and the way they are with Division 1, 2, and 3. So, you know, it would be kind of nice to be able to finish this three-division thing and you holding on to a record regardless of what happens with expanded divisions. I'll tell you what, the 4x2, it's not on here for me, but the 4x2 is in trouble as well. Right. The four kids from Bluffton running their 4x2.
We've seen them.
They've already ran a low 129. The four down in Marion Local already in the 129s. Whew, both those records are in jeopardy for sure.
Those two teams that you just mentioned have handoffs better than any two teams I've seen.
We saw that.
It's incredible how good they hand the baton off.
So we'll be keeping a real close eye on those as we get into June. And then for my Stolle Sensational Team of the Week, I'm going with the Shawnee Boys track team. They had a great week last week. On Tuesday, they had a tri meet. They were able to defeat Salina and St. Mary's to take home that
very
win.
Nice.
And then they won the Shawnee Invitational on Friday night. They had 170 points. Second place was Finley, a very deep, always talented team. They only had 121. Shawnee ran away with it, a very balanced attack from all the way from the throws, the distance, the sprint, the hurdles. Did a great job. It was a lot of fun watching them. So they're my Stolle Sensational
Team. Enthusiasm jumps a little bit when you're hosting your own Invitational, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You want to make sure. It's our name on it. We want to make sure we win it.
Absolutely. We've called that meet several times. That's a really nice meet.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I am terrified of heights, right? I do not like heights. Ladders, step ladders, anything. You know, Cedar Point was a torture for me because of the giant roller coaster and stuff. I would get over it, but I just don't like heights, you know, because I'm always afraid of falling. But I'll tell you a guy who's not. It's Drew Boggs at DHJ because his high jump was a 6'6" at the New Bremen. And I'm like, wow, that guy, he had a really bad ankle injury in the fall. He played basketball. His legs got to be a little bit tired. And then you're calling it with me and we're like, a 6'6" on the high jump. Are you kidding
me? We got those results in the booth and I looked at him and I went, Miles, this says 6'6", Drew Boggs. And he's like, yeah, I've seen it.
I mean, he can dunk easily. But that was absolutely impressive. So he's my Stolle Superstar of the Week. And then, boy, my superstar of the team is Defiance Baseball. Now, they had wins over WAPOC, which was a huge win, right? They're probably going to go ahead and win the WBL. Toledo Central, quality program, they beat them. And then Elida, a team that you highlighted last week. I know they're young, but they were still right in the thick of the things with the WBL. Three big wins. However, did you see how they did it? 21-1 combined record. 21-1 run scored, beating those three teams. So great job by Defiance. And I'm going to guess that they're going to go ahead and win the WBL.
I mean, who could have seen Defiance being good at baseball?
I know, right?
Who would have predicted that?
Yeah, good job, Rick Weaver and the guys over there. Doing a good job.
Guys, my Stolle Superstar of the Week. Remember last week I had a freshman runner who won the 1600 and 3200. And guess what? I've got a freshman runner who won the 1600 and 3200 at the Liberty Bend Invitational. Bath freshman Penny Francis. She's the record holder at Bath with 1134. The Liberty Benton Invitational is big time track and field, and she's a multi-winner in two of the toughest races you can get into.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Congratulations to her and to the Bath. The Bath has a really good track program.
Yeah,
now.
I'm no coach over there.
I know, right?
Good.
That's where I was going.
I'm telling you, Penny is going to be, by the time it's all said and done, she's going to own every distance record over a Bath. Mm-hmm. She's a phenomenal cross-country runner as well. To be able to, at her first race as a freshman in track in the 2 mile, she set the school record in her very
incredible
first race.
Yeah.
She's a phenomenal runner, and I got a feeling that she's going to be in contention for some big-time hardware before she's out of there at Bath.
Yeah, and my Stolle team of the week, I got two of them. I know we're supposed to have one, but I got two. The Bluffton boys won the Liberty Benton Invitational, scored 122 points. They just outdistanced Liberty Benton, 105. And as you guys know, Liberty Benton is a premier program.
Yeah.
And if you go into their place and win their Invitational, that's huge. And then I thought this was kind of neat. Columbus Grove girls scored 144 points. They beat the Bluffton girls with 119, and there's
a little bit of a rivalry
Bluffton.
There.
There's a little bit of rivalry, but as I'm doing my research, the Columbus Grove track team, it's all girls we know.
Oh,
Nicole Nesby, Lauren Ockmoody. Yeah. I mean, it's just, and I'm like, oh yeah, now I know why they're good at everything.
Hey, I follow the Ockmoodys on social media, and it's like, oh, there's Lauren with another award.
Indiana High All-Star Game track. Yeah, she won the 100 too, and the 200.
She probably just has a path to her bed in her bedroom. It's just awards all the way around it.
All right, guys, let's switch gears a little bit and talk Buckeye basketball. Ohio State will be facing North Carolina in the CBS Sports Classic. Guys, that's a tough matchup.
That's a really
tough
matchup.
Now, we talk about Jake Diebler, and we talk about the struggles he's had over the last year and, you know, as the interim coach. Is this a good matchup for him trying to build this program?
Nate, what do you think?
Yeah. It's fine. Listen.
Will Howard, Nate. Yeah.
Listen. At the end of the day, guys, you have to – if you're going to be – a top-tier basketball program, you're going to attract recruits, you're going to get out there, get your name out there, make yourself a viable program in Division I basketball. Yeah. These are the matchups you have to have, and you have to be able to compete. Listen, I'm sure a lot of people didn't think that the Kentucky matchup was going to be very smart coming into this year.
The Auburn
wasn't either. But, you know, but they had Texas early, they had Kentucky. Yeah, the Auburn one was pretty rough. This program has to play games like this. You have to play, and they have always had these high-profile games, regardless of who was coaching. And for some reason, they've always seemed to do pretty well, more often
really
than
have.
Not, in these matchups. Now, that it's never seems to translate lately into Big Ten play or tournament play. Well, you got to make the tournament, I guess, first before that can happen. But, yes, I think personally that – and we've also talked, Jake Diebler is going to have a short leash, I do think. He's going to have to make – some big strides very quickly if he's going to stick around this program. And this is how you do that. You schedule programs like North Carolina. You're going to be on national stage. You go and you win that game, or at least you're competitive. It gives you a lot of credibility pretty much right off the bat.
Well, years ago, you had to do these things, right? Because kids, they wanted to go to a program and say, are we going to travel anywhere? Are we going to play high-profile games? Are we going to be on TV, right? So you had to play the North Carolinas of the world because you wanted to attract kids. I don't know if you need to do that stuff anymore. If you're Ohio State, don't you need to stack wins any way you can just so you can get back into the tournament, don't you?
Listen.
Because kids are going to go to Ohio State if it's a winning program and if you can give them a nice NIL package. Now, if you're getting money from CBS that helps you with that, then I say yes. But if I'm Jake Diebler, I'm scheduling as many wins as I can, not North Carolina.
The NIL package at Ohio State is not what it should be. We already know that on the basketball side.
Are you going to get more donors by getting blown up by North Carolina? North Carolina.
I think you're going to get better recruits when you don't have the NIL package. And when you can say to kids, hey, look, we're playing North Carolina. We're playing Michigan twice this year. We're playing Kentucky.
Can't pay you, but we're going to get beat by North Carolina.
Think it's better for this program if they go and then instead of losing to potentially losing to North Carolina, you think it's better if they go and they beat Illinois State, Indiana State, and Oakland?
Right now, in where the program's at, I'm stacking as many wins as possible.
If they go and they beat North Carolina, that and you have to start talking.
I'd like that positive thought, but
they,
I mean,
they beat Kentucky,
right?
They've beaten high-profile programs they were right there with a Texas team, right?
They did beat Texas.
Lost to A&M, who a lot of people thought were going to be a Final Four team.
But if you go and you look at Ohio State's record against top-tier programs over time, it is a losing record
in the Big Ten.
Well, I'm talking about overall. When we've played the North Carolinas before, the Dukes, I mean, everybody points to the one time we beat Duke at the Schottenstein Center. But what would we do the other times against them, right? So I just don't believe at this point in time, I'm not saying in the future not to do this, but if I'm Jake Diebler and I'm trying to build, you said he's on a short leash, I am scheduling wins.
But I don't think Jake Diebler, he won't necessarily be around to see the benefits of beating a North Carolina.
That's why you schedule wins.
You go and do that. Look at someone's record and they're 20-5 or whatever the is, but 90% of their wins are against less than opponents. You're not going to get credit for that.
I like the fact that they played Pittsburgh this year.
No, they're playing them again this year.
Right, ACC school, a mid-level ACC school. That's a good matchup. Right.
Blow it like you did this year, it's a bad loss.
But still, I like that better than playing Miami of Ohio or a lower-level MAC team. I don't know. It's a slippery slope when you. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
When you're a program and you have to start stacking wins up, that's a bad place to be.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, I will tell you this. They will beat North Carolina because Colin White is going to have 25 or more, and he's going to hit the game winner.
I like it.
But
if you were the AD, we wouldn't be playing North Carolina.
No, but we'd have a win.
All right, guys. Athletic Director Russ Bjork has stated that he wants to make some changes to Ohio Stadium. Now, guys, I'm going to just say this, and please, I hope our audience doesn't go crazy when they hear this. And I've said this for a couple years.
Both of them.
Yeah, I've said this for a couple years now. There's going to come a day when they're going to have to tear that stadium down. Stop yourself. Look, guys, have you looked when you go down to the concession stands?
Ghost of Woody Hayes isn't coming in right now.
I'm not saying it's going to happen while we're alive, especially now you being 58.
I have a couple years left.
I'm just saying, when you go look at the infrastructure in the bottom of that, that thing's not in great shape.
But
I don't
see any way. You're not wrong. Okay, it's not in great shape. But
I hope Wayne got that shot where you just said I was not wrong.
But
we play that a lot.
But I don't see any way that they legitimately tear down Ohio Stadium and start from scratch. It may cost more money and it may be way more of a headache, but they will find a way to refurbish what they have, which is what I think
it's concrete.
Ross is looking for right now.
It's concrete. It's a giant block.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they'll figure it out. Technology is amazing.
Concrete technology is going crazy.
We can just tear down this side and we'll sit over here.
But, whatever. They're not tearing it down. It's not happening. They're not going
to
do it.
Nate, I'm going to tell you something that hurt my feelings so bad. They're going to someday tear Wrigley Field down in Fenway Park.
They should. Wrigley Field is a hole. Have you ever been there?
I love Wrigley.
It's a hole. But I'm just saying.
Haven't been there in probably 10 years.
Everything has its shelf life. They tore the Boston Garden down. Everything has its shelf life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen now or 10 years. But it's getting close because that thing is in bad shape.
Would you improve it there, Ross?
Well, I'm just
tearing down apparently.
I know.
Yeah.
Right. We'll put it in a parking lot.
Yeah. Honest to goodness, you are at the pinnacle of Ohio State football right now. You tear that thing down, they play at Cleveland or Cincinnati for a couple years, whatever you have to do, and you build.
How long do you think it takes to build a stadium?
Imagine the hate mail we're going to get.
You build.
Why didn't you say this when Tim May was here the other day?
Did you just say they're going to play in Cleveland?
Could.
What is wrong with you?
I want someone to win there.
You want somebody to win there. Look, people want to know what's going to happen.
Seriously, guys.
Games.
Listen, it's going to have to happen someday. You are right now. You tear that thing down and you build a massive 125,000 seat stadium, just like the old horseshoe.
That's the part that you're missing. When they rebuild stadiums these days, they don't have 100,000 people in them. And that's Ohio State is never going to build something smaller.
And to think that you're Ross Bjork.
I just said that.
You're two on the job, and you're going, hey, guys, I know I'm not really from Ohio, but let's blow this thing up.
Listen, here's my great idea, guys.
You guys
tear
are
it down.
Naive to believe that this isn't going to happen someday.
Right. It's not happening this year.
But listen, I didn't say it this year. You just asked me what I would do.
Listen.
He said, listen.
You
can
blow it up.
Yeah.
Wrecking ball Holbrook over here.
We don't have to be naive. Because it ain't happening. Well, at least when he's still alive. So he'll never know.
I'm not 58,
so
Boog.
He'll never know.
Goob had you at 58. All right, what would you guys do?
Nate, you want to go first?
Yeah, the only thing I would do is I would just rip out the bench seating so when you sit down, you're not like this trying to watch a game.
Yeah.
And you can actually be comfortable watching.
When we were at the Tennessee game, you had to sit on our lap. Yeah.
You were freezing.
Remember that.
I've only been to one Ohio State game in the shoe. I've been to Michigan, up in Michigan. I've been to Big Ten Championships. I've been to the Fiesta Bowl. But I've only ever been to one, and it was recently. And I got to be honest, I did not enjoy it. You know, I went, and we were sitting up high, and that was fine. I didn't care about any of that. But you're sitting there, and you're on each other's laps. You're crushed in there. There's nothing enjoyable about that viewing experience other than you're at Ohio, like you're there. So once I was there and I saw it, I was like, all right, we can leave. I can watch the rest of the game on TV. Like, I've experienced what I need to experience at this point.
Now, what would you do to fix the stadium?
I told you, I would tear up those seats and give us some more comfortable
stadium
seating.
Seats?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You just fixed 38 seats. What?
I did not. The entire seat deck is better now.
Yeah.
And now you can charge $8,000 to sit up there, too.
Why does he get old man voice?
No. I don't know.
You don't need one yet?
Too much sugar this late at night.
All right.
Too much sugar this late at night.
All right.
What would you do, Engineer Miles?
Well, okay. So one of the problems when you sit in B deck is you love the old history of Ohio State, but you're obstructed with the poles, right? Sometimes. You think if you're Ohio State, you would have more than 13-inch monitors up or under so you can see what's actually going on.
Do you think the stadium's outdated?
I think the TVs are. How about getting some big TVs on B-deck?
I'd also find a more efficient way to get to the top other than having to go an inch.
You want the escalator that the Bengals have?
Something.
Look, I'm going to tell you guys something.
Tear down.
Blow it up.
It's terrible.
I'm going to tell you guys something that your parents didn't tell you. Here's the deal. Those dogs you had as little kids, they're dead. The dogs are dead. Yeah, they're not alive. There's a shelf life
Yeller?
For everything.
Yeller's
yes,
still alive.
Exactly.
No.
There's a shelf life for everything. It's time to start over. Build me a new stadium.
Shelf life for Danny and chair number one. Yeah. Better TVs in the B deck.
That's fine. You know what? He doesn't have to go with us when we go down there.
No, he doesn't.
He can stay up here while
we
go.
I'm the only one you get there.
He hates the stadium. He doesn't want to be around
Nick
it.
Will have a driver for me, and I'll just go by myself.
All right, so the horseshoe open end. Take that and turn it all into a jumbotron, right? Because everything that you go to now, everybody
you
wants to watch.
12,000 seats?
No. I'm saying put it above it. Everything above where the student section is a giant screen like Jerry World. Because what's everybody want to do after a play? Well, what just happened? Everybody wants that, right? Ohio Stadium does not have that. They need to have that, okay? And then the last one. We need more DJs. We need more guys scratching and say, pump it up, pump it up, pump it up, pump it, pump it, pump it up.
Next thing that's going to happen is Danny says they're going to need to make it a dome.
Oh, he will, too. Glorious. Yeah, he's so soft.
That would be glorious.
Like giant
that
concrete
would be
dome.
Glorious. Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Would you agree if they put a referendum on the ballot, the Ohio taxpayers wouldn't pass to build a new stadium?
No.
It would go like it'd be the biggest win in the history of voting.
You think so?
Oh, my gosh.
No. You were so, one, you haven't been paying attention at all. No one's paying
State
any new
great
taxes.
Again.
Second of all, nobody.
I got
would
an idea.
It would get voted down. So badly.
We'll make Michigan pay for it. We'll put a tariff on all
we'll
goods coming into Ohio.
We'll build and make them pay for it. I like it.
Oh, great. Yeah, we'll make them pay for it. They already say they own it.
This show is huge.
A flag tax.
It is. Oh, my goodness.
All right, guys, let's take a look at some roster moves by the Ohio State football team. They added Jackson Corville from Ball State and North Carolina long snapper Grant Mills. Which one of these guys is most likely to have the biggest impact?
It's a long snapper.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, mainly because I think we have a pretty good kicker, right? Fielding.
Really?
Yeah.
Jaden Fielding.
Yeah, yeah, I watched the Michigan game.
Well, right. I think
he
it's all right.
Along. Yeah, he came along. He did. Those four playoff games, he was good.
Yeah.
Really he was. You're right.
Yeah. So whether he keeps the job or, you know, somehow Corville wins it, I don't think Corville came in. I don't think they brought Corville in for this year. I think he was, because he has a couple years left. Right. I think he was meant to bridge that gap once Fielding leaves to the next kicker. But everything, well, it doesn't matter. You have the greatest kicker in the world. If your snaps suck, it's not going to matter.
No, nobody remembers who the long snapper is until there's a bad snap.
Exactly.
Right? I did that job in high school. We went up to the Silverdome in Michigan to play Detroit Catholic Central. I was so nervous. My punter was mad at me in pregame because every snap was going over his head going into the Detroit CC side, and they were getting mad at us. Week five, when I hurt my shoulder, I was so happy not to long snap anymore. It is a thankless job. Nobody wants that one. So I'm with Nate on that one. Anytime you can get a five-star. Did you know they even put stars on snappers?
I how good do you have to be as a snapper?
Five-star snapper.
Appreciate your comments, but you're both wrong. Do you understand, gentlemen?
Now blow up the stadium.
I set you straight on the stadium issue. Now I have to set you straight on this. That long snapper Grant Mills, he's not playing this. There are two other long snappers on the roster this year who have been there
until
for several years.
Yeah.
Jaden Fielding is one shank kick away from
Wait a minute. He kicked three balls out of bounds on kickoff, so he's not just one shank away. Yeah, Ryan Day is showing you can be abysmal and still kick.
He brought Jackson Corville in to say, hey, look, if you don't get it done, we've got somebody here. There was nobody else on the roster that could take his place, right? Well, let's be honest. If there was, he'd have made the move.
But it's also a backup then, too. I mean, if he gets hurt or whatever, you still need somebody that can kick the ball.
Anytime you want to challenge someone, you go to the hotbed of kicking, Ball State.
Yeah, that's right. The Ball Brothers. The Ball canning jars. I don't know if you guys can green beans this summer, but that's Ball Brothers. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you know that. Anyways, this is my favorite subject you've ever put on this show sheet. This is the greatest. Yeah. T.C. Caffey, running back, entered the portal. Will that affect the running back room? Oh, no. T.C. Caffey's gone.
Now, you laugh, but going into last year, he was third on the depth chart to the point where they gave him a scholarship. He was a walk-on kid, and he ran extremely hard. They loved him, and they blew out his knee, and he's never really been the same. So, obviously, that running back room is a little bit deeper now. Yeah. I think they'll be okay without TC.
Let me just, and Nate, I'm sure will agree with me on this one. You're concerned about the walk-on tailback that blew his knee out before the season last year. You're concerned that the room's going to somehow take a nosedive.
That's a question. Do you think it will affect the room?
No, I don't think the chair that he sat in is still there.
T.C. Caffey, when you watch this, know that I loved you as a player. I thought you had potential.
How did you ever see? He never played.
That's not true. He played in the spring game 2 years ago.
Great take, Mr. Holbrook.
Thank you.
Listen, man.
You're going, Mr. Holbrook?
I want to keep coming on the show. Apparently, he holds
the
on
wise
power.
Man.
Thank you.
Featuring. I had to remind them to put me on the show graphic.
on the graphic, you're up there. You're right beside Miles and Gillington. Yeah, so it's all good. Yeah.
The guy who's never even been on the show got on the show.
Gillington
graphic
did.
He did.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Teaser, Gillington's coming. Trust me.
Oh, you think so? Okay. Yeah. All right,
guys. Ohio State also missed out on some defensive tackle targets in the portal. Now, this is a better take now. How concerned we should be, I'm just going to tell you this. Caden McDonald goes down. There's a serious issue there because we don't have another nose guard. They're going to have to play some guys out of position, or they're going to have to play some freshmen who aren't ready for Big Ten football.
Yeah, I mean, I am a little worried about it. We talked about after the spring game what position we thought maybe they should go into the portal. I had said D-tackle. I thought that was where they needed to go. So missing out on them, I do think, is a concern. You know, we'll see how it all plays out when it's all said and done, but – I mean, obviously the sky's not falling because we didn't get, one D tackle transfer in the portal. But, as Ohio State football fans, we're not used to losing. So,
right. I look, I'm not worried at all because Larry Johnson, right? Is there anyone better in college football than developing defensive linemen? Every year we talk about Larry's too old. Larry's not going to get it done. Larry needs to go away, right? And what's he do? He finds us a McDonald. He finds us a Houston. Those guys, we did not even talk about last year. And then they came onto the field and they made plays. I think those two are going to be fantastic. And there'll be somebody that Larry will develop into that spot.
Mm, I
I agree. This next point, you really have a knack of getting underneath Nate's skin.
Well,
you really
do. It's amazing. This is a real question.
Yeah, the Buckeyes were able to keep quarterback Lincoln Kienholz. We all know the young man from South Dakota. He's not going to transfer, so it's going to be Julian Sand, Lincoln Kienholz. When should Ryan Day announce the starting quarterback?
Not the night before the first game. As soon as possible. He knows. He already knows. I guarantee you right now, Ryan Day knows who he wants to be the starter.
Nate, everybody knows who the starter is going to be.
So name him
year.
And let's roll.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you name him too early.
Who cares?
Texas has
great.
A chance.
If you have such a weak-minded quarterback who is going to transfer the moment that he doesn't get the job, then you don't want him in your program anyway because he's not committed. Let him go. Get somebody else.
I will commend Lincoln Kienholz for continuing to fight and saying that he's going to stay with the Buckeyes.
Absolutely.
Chances are he's not going to be the starter, right? But you don't want to name it too early because then the competition goes away.
You're right. God forbid a program has a quarterback who is the quarterback for 2-3 years in a row and everybody knows who the quarterback is and it's not an open competition every year. Oh, no. What poor thing can happen? Then I mean, this is the dumbest conversation we ever have wrapped around college football.
Get that open.
I know
this
I know.
Is so dumb.
Oh my god!
You two, he's getting red. So
it's how the game's played.
It's
nowadays.
Not. It's
yeah,
not.
It is.
Name me other programs that run their program. Like this. You are so ridiculous.
On,
that's not going to work.
It is.
No, it's still stupid.
Come on,
it's still stupid. It's so dumb.
It's a little baby's not working.
This is such a dumb
question. Danny, I don't know what to do. There's no little dummies left.
This is just such a dumb argument.
We're not arguing. We're
telling you quarterback. Roll with your quarterback. Have your leader. Have the guy who's going to run your offense. You are defending national champs. Coming in with a roster that outside of one wide receiver has a lot to prove itself.
But if you don't name it, though.
You name your quarterback, and he helps lead your team, and you build your team, and you have an identity before week one against Texas.
Oh, you can do that inside, right? But if you name it early, now Texas knows, and they can study Julian Sain. Now they got to waste time on two quarterbacks up into that week.
No. Nate, what are you talking about?
The decision.
I don't know why I talk
the
to
decision
you.
Last year went the way Miles and I did it. How did it work out?
It was a train wreck headache of a season. Every week
we
it was
won
a,
the national you're championship.
Right,
I,
you're right. But every week it was a sky is falling situation. Every week.
No.
Just on your part.
On your part, yeah. You're the one who
you're
wanted
Mr. Doom and Gloom.
Yeah. Listen. You're right. I don't have much value on that.
You could have fallen in love with Bill Howard like us.
I gotta be honest with you. My argument every week you guys twisted this so much. I never had an issue with Will Howard.
I had an issue with how
Ryan Day handled the entire situation.
Did you hear that?
My issue was with Ryan Day. And if Will Howard was the guy and this amazing guy to run the best offense that money can buy, why did it take so long to name him?
Who is this guy?
Did you make a wish when you threw that little Debbie over your shoulder? Yeah. You did.
Whatever. You're right. God forbid, guys, that we name a quarterback right now we have somebody that can lead our team. And you guys are ridiculous. I can't even have this argument with you guys anymore.
Down to something he's familiar with.
Yeah.
Buckeye lacrosse.
Hey!
The Buckeyes win the Big Ten tournament,
awesome.
Nate, for
awesome.
The first time. Why is lacrosse growing in the state of Ohio? And what's an important position in lacrosse?
So
I don't know anything about lacrosse.
Well, they play it with a stick.
So it matches all the other sport knowledge you have.
Yeah.
little
Debbie Tosser.
Listen, this was huge for the Buckeyes. They've had good teams before. They've won the Big Ten regular season before. They never won the tournament. Mm-hmm. They get the automatic bid. They're going to play, as you're watching this, it'll be Sunday against Notre Dame. They will host them in the first round.
Notre Dame, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
defending national champions.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that Sam Hubbard was recruited to play at Notre Dame lacrosse?
Thanks, Urban Meyer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the country at all levels, high school, college, D3 on up. It's exploding. I mean, they call it the fastest sport on TV. If you have never exposed yourself to lacrosse, go and watch a game.
Yeah,
you don't need to know much about it. I coached it.
Other
I didn't know anything about
shake.
It.
Proven right
fun.
There. Proven.
Right. Yeah. But it's fun to watch. It's fast paced. There's a lot going on. The high scores. It's not, you know, 1-0 games.
Legally hitting people with sticks.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing. And Ohio State has done a great job. They have a sophomore goalie. His nickname's Big Tasty. It's amazing. Tasty. You know, we got a lot of good lacrosse around here. Obviously, you know, I mean, I coached Lima Seniors lacrosse team. But ONU, They have Coach Saint is out there with them.
They just made the tournament?
They just won the OAC for the first time in program history. Yeah. They knocked off Baldwin Wallace, which has a history of just dominating that conference. Huge win for them. They're going to host their first tournament game this week as well. He coached in the PLL, the professional leagues, the California Redwoods. Wow. He's coached for the MLL down when they had the Columbus Machine. We have a lot of high level. Finley is blowing up with lacrosse right now. They have a great club team going on up there. Their coach up there is doing a phenomenal job. A lot of really great aspects of it. You know, it took a while, I think, for lacrosse to really kind of catch on. It was a late sport. 1980 is the first time that we had an NCAA Division I champion. And it was really dominated by a lot of, like, smaller schools on the East Coast.
Right, right. East Coast, huge.
You know, Ohio Wesleyan was really about the only program in Ohio that was, like, a dominant team when it came to lacrosse. But none of this is all here or there. No one needs a history lesson. It's a fun sport. And for Ohio State, this tradition that they're building is fantastic. This team is really, really fun to watch. As far as what's the most important position in lacrosse, I guess it depends on what you your identity as a team is, right? Goalie is always going to be important because there's a lot of shots that he is going to see. If I told you to go stand against that wall and I'm going to throw
Danny, will you
20
do it?
To 25.
I think you should do it, Danny.
20, I get a nickname like Big Tasty.
Yeah.
20
yeah,
to 25.
Big Tasty, get over there.
Yeah, we're going to start
going.
We
bring some in next week?
I know.
Throw it at Danny.
If the goalie,
I'll be all about it.
If the goalie's Big Tasty, since you're so old, we're going to call you Old Sour or Old Spoiled. Old Spoiled Milk.
What are you talking about?
Big Tasty, Old Spoiled Milk. Awesome.
But listen, as a goalie, if
that just flows, doesn't it?
Essentially, these guys are crazy, right? If I told you to stand on the wall and I'm going to throw 20 to 30 balls at you, roughly 90 to 95 miles an hour repetitively, and your whole goal is to use your body to stop it, not a lot of guys sign up for that.
Bring the equipment in next week. I'll be the goalie. You guys can throw them at me.
Listen, I have portable nets. I will do all of this.
You know, Megan and Kelsey will want part of this, too.
Oh, my gosh.
They call me the wall. There's no... nothing getting
they
by
call
me.
You a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
you
they
are
do.
Going to but the not the wall.
You are going
will
to
it
the
hurt
hospital.
My face? Will I
bring a helmet.
Will I lose the one chair?
No, don't bring a helmet.
Bring a helmet. I have plenty
in the hospital.
I've never had people wish me in the hospital.
So, but no, it's great for Ohio State. It's another thing that you know, the Buckeyes are excelling at. So
yeah, I used to love when they would have the lacrosse game against Air Force or someone before the Ohio State football spring game.
Yes,
I remember being at that and saying, "What are they doing out there?" Right, that was a lot of fun.
Well, they used to play at the Shoe. 2 years ago, they stopped playing at the Shoe. They built a lacrosse-only stadium down there in Columbus on campus. It is beautiful. It's an amazing stadium.
Did they blow up the old lacrosse stadium?
They probably did.
Yeah, because it was crappy concrete.
Somebody falls out of that stadium, you're going to say, Danny said we should build a new stadium.
It's not PNC Park. People aren't falling out of it.
He got pushed out. You watched that video. It's almost like there was a spring in his seat.
Can
like,
we talk boom. About anything else?
All right, guys, let's talk about high school football. We're going to end the show with high school football talk. Wapakoneta High School is hosting a MAC versus WBL spring football showcase on May 12th at 6 p.m. for players to run through drills for college scouts. Now, Miles and I will be there broadcasting our radio show from there, which is going to be huge. Guys, how important is it for athletes to participate in events like this?
I think it's great. Like when I coached football, one of the things I wanted my kids to do is get on a campus to get evaluated because anytime you're competing against other people, like you're looking around, right? You don't want to be the fifth, the last guy. You want to compete at a high level. Also, if I got them to go to campus, they got to experience other things, especially if I got them to go to a campus where it's a college camp. Like we used to go to Vanderbilt down in Tennessee. And anytime you get a kid, and Nate, you probably can understand this as well. You get a kid on campus somewhere, boy, now they're thinking about bigger things, right? Mm-hmm. They're thinking about more than that's one in their small little world. So I think this is a fantastic thing. I'm just so proud for Travis Moyer that they've got this thing going and two great leagues like the WBL and the MAC get the exposure for those kids that they deserve.
Well, first and foremost, thanks for the invitation to come and do the radio show with you too. That's awesome. On your guys's. Yeah.
You forgot
show,
in the car, cool. Didn't
that's
you?
That's awesome.
It's in the car.
I appreciate that.
I was going to name him third person on the radio next week. I didn't want to do it too soon.
Yeah,
I didn't want him to transfer.
Fantastic.
Yeah, surprise.
Like this is a big deal, and I don't think that they get enough credit because honestly, up until last year, I didn't even realize they did this, and this is still a relatively new thing. It's growing, but they've already because of this showcase, gotten guys in our area Division One scholarships. Mm-hmm. These kinds of showcases are the things that the kids need to be exposed to. It doesn't need to cost you money. It doesn't need to be a cash grab. It's hard sometimes for these kids and these parents who don't navigate recruiting a lot to know what things they should go to, because you're going to get cold call mails. You're going to end up on a mailing list.
Everybody
somewhere.
Gets a mailing.
You're going to get invites, and kids are going to get excited about it. And parents are like, all right, well, it's $350, but maybe this will give us an opportunity. They don't know. These are the things, though, that local coaches and programs and high schools can do, where parents can trust that we're going to send our kids, they're going to get actual exposure, they're going to do things that are actually going to benefit their kids, and they're going to get actual either film or eyes from coaches. They're going to get what they need if they have kids that are genuinely excited or want to play at the next level.
Right.
These are those types of showcases. This is a great thing that they're doing. You know, it's small, right? Because sometimes you go to these camps and there'll be hundreds of kids. Yeah. Well, it's going to be really hard to get any sort of exposure for yourself. Yeah. You may be good enough to play in college, but if you're not a 5-star Division One, you're probably not going to get a lot of eyes on you.
Yeah, those giant camps, the top 5-star kids are like, you go to this field, and then all the coaches go over there.
How many times, guys, do we talk about, if like we always say, if I were coaching at ONU or Bluffton or UNOH, I'd start at the MAC and the WBL. In all seriousness, I would.
Well, look what Defiance is doing in basketball. Right.
Defiance,
smart.
We laugh about that, but they are just cashing in on local kids, and it's awesome to see. And I had a coach tell me one time, and in all seriousness,
I said, Danny, you're not very good.
No. This was before.
It's your fault. We don't want to get
I asked this coach, why are you not recruiting locally? And he said, I don't want to deal with a lot of the things that come with dealing with local kids and families and things like that.
Well, that's true.
And it is an issue. He would mind the Cleveland area and the Cincinnati area. And he got good players, but man, you're missing out on so many good players. Look, Travis Moyer at Wapakoneta and Marion Local, you tell me that you can't find two or three kids that can help you in those programs?
Well, and they'll get to show out like we talked about. You're not going to have a lot of kids. You're going to be able to have lots of reps. You're going to get lots of instruction. This is a great thing that they're doing for kids. Kids are going to have an opportunity to go play at the next level because of this, and that's awesome.
You have to be participating in stuff like this nowadays.
You have to.
Day and age, remember, coaches would say, if you're good enough, they'll find you. No, that's not the way anymore, right? Yeah. You have to be part of your own recruiting now.
Well, the next question says, and I think it's an emphatic yes, is should more people and more schools be doing this? Absolutely.
Don't know why they don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that once you see this take off, I think you're going to see other schools go, wait a minute, I've got two or three kids that can help out. And that brings me to my next question. Is it the coach's responsibility to help a kid get recruited? I'm going to just say this right now. I've coached a long time, as all of us have. Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
If you were invested in that child, it is your job to help him, whether he's in your program or graduated from your program. It is your job.
I agree with you. But he always starts off with that mailing. Like coach, where are some kids that we need to keep an eye on, right? And you send that back into the school. A coach reaches out to you. Coach, you got any kids? However, I do want to preface this. It's also my job to be realistic with that athlete, right? I have a kid that comes to me, a fullback. He was 5'6", and he's like, Coach, I want you to send film to Florida for me. No, not doing it. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. Well, why not, Coach? I want to go play at Florida. Because I want to be able to go to the guys at Florida when I have a kid that's a big-time player and say, hey, I'm not wasting your time with this kid that's 165 pounds at 5'6". I have a real kid that can play there. Because if I send someone a joke film and they look at me like, Coach, why'd you send this to us, right? This is no good,
I had a kid a couple years ago. It's been more than a couple years ago, 6'8 kid. He was an okay basketball player, nothing great. But he loved working on cars. Okay. I called out to UNOH when I was coaching, and I said, look, I got a kid. He's a project. He's probably never going to start, but he's 6'8". He can help you in practice. He loves working on cars. Would you give him a look? I sat that kid down, and I said, look, they're going to come talk to you. They're going to give you a chance. You may never start there,
right?
But I had to be realistic with the kid, okay? Look, you can go work hard. You can get your degree in auto mechanics, because that's what he wanted to do.
Right, sure.
And it was a win-win for both guys, you know?
So, go ahead.
Well, I think that it is part of a coach's job to to help with the recruiting process for any kid that has a desire to play at the next level. I've helped a ton of kids with recruiting. I've done it for my own sister who ended up going to ONU to run. But there's a process, right? It's not just sending stuff out on a blanket. You have to talk with kids and you have to be honest with them.
Yeah.
And hopefully you have, as a coach, if you've done your job, you've built a relationship enough with a kid where you can be honest. Mm-hmm. And it always, for me, it always starts with, okay, who is thinking about wanting to play or when I was in track running at the next level? Whoever you are, come and find me. We will have a conversation about it. Okay, what do you want to do? What are your goals? Mm-hmm. Academically, where we have, it's a job.
That's a thing.
Coach,
I got a 2-2.
I will help you with the school, but you have the school. Don't go and say, "Hey, well, this school." If you don't even know if that school has what you want or is offering anything academically remotely, I'm not saying that you have to know what you want to do for the rest of your life right now, but you have to have a general idea, right?
Yeah.
But then sending things, reaching out to coaches, you know, not necessarily saying you have to take this kid. Just, "Hey, coach, I got a kid. He's interested in your program. Here's his film. Here's my opinion about him. If you'd like to." You know, talk with them, let them know. Now, I also have a conversation with the kids too. If a coach reaches out to you, if you're not interested, you need to tell them.
Because if you just straight ignore coaches or lead them on, you're
going to hurt, you know, not necessarily me, but the kid maybe behind you
absolutely.
Who wants to go. And I reach out to a coach and say, "Hey," and he's going to be like, "Well, the last time you sent me a kid, he never responded to me. It was a bad experience." So I think there's a big process. You know, but it can work. A coach can make things up. I've driven kids to Chicago, all over Ohio. You know, we had over 20 kids get recruited and get opportunities to play lacrosse in college. Not even necessarily because I told them lacrosse grows so much, the potential, right? And I'm like, "Hey, get a real coach in front of these kids. If you think they're good now, wait till somebody who knows what they're doing gets a hold of them," right? So it absolutely is a coach's job. In my opinion,
to get these
kids who want to move on to the next level set up to play at the level that they should. If you got a kid who says, "I want to go play for Ohio State," right. and you know that's not going to happen.
I did too.
You need to have a conversation with them and then get them to, "Hey, listen, I will send your stuff to Ohio State if that's what you really want. But let's dial it down, there's some other places that maybe we also want to talk about.
The perfect response to that is the young man we had on tonight, Boog Wilson, who the viewers got to watch. He had an opportunity at one point to be looking at some Division I schools, but Tiffin, he said, was where he felt comfortable.
He did.
They offered him what he wanted. They're going to allow him to play receiver. Look, there's a path to the NFL at Tiffin University.
Well, Washington.
There absolutely is. Yeah.
Well, and ultimately, in this landscape of every college athlete and every college sport nowadays, go where you is going to be the best fit for you, especially for where you're at in your skill set now.
Right.
Go and develop. Find the best place that's going to develop you, make you a better player. And then if you develop and you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to have opportunities to maybe go somewhere else and move up into, you know, if there's no doubt in my mind that Boog Wilson can be a Division I athlete.
Oh, absolutely.
And if that's where he chooses to do and what he wants to do in the future, he'll have that opportunity, and he can do that. And if Tiffin is the right place to start to help him get to where he needs to go, more power to him.
Yeah, nobody stays at the same college anymore, right?
It's just a starting point nowadays, right? Good point on that. I always reminded the guys when they want to be recruited, well, what do you want to go into? What do you want to do in life? Because you're probably not going to play in the NFL, right? So let's pick a school that way. And if a kid really wanted to play football somewhere, I will find you a spot. Now, it might be in Kansas. It might be in Oregon, right? But if you want to play, we'll put you somewhere. We'll get you somewhere.
I said, listen, depends on where you want to go. I guarantee you we can get a hold of some schools out in Nevada and California that are looking for it. But is that what you want to do?
Right. Like, and then all of a sudden,
let's make a radius.
You're like, well, I don't want to really leave Ohio. Well, okay, well, that makes it more difficult.
Okay,
doesn't it?
And it narrows down our search for sure.
Guys, last thing of the night. I love this, Miles. If the Western Buckeye League and the Midwestern Athletic Conference had crossover games to begin the season, which matchup would you guys like to see?
We
see it every once in a while. We've seen it over the last 2 years on a few teams.
Well, that Walpock Marion local.
That's what I'm saying. What are our dream matchups? Yeah,
I asked Coach Moyer this on the radio on Saturday. And
great interview, by the way.
Well, thank you. He really wanted no part of that answer.
Because he knows the matchup all of his life.
No. But I would love to see Coldwater and Wapak. Two coaches I absolutely love, right? Coach Moyer and Coach Otten. I think that would just be a tremendous matchup for week one. But and it wouldn't hurt either team, right? If you lose, you still got the rest of your season.
See, I think even like some of those mid-range games would be interesting to see. You know, we all know. I mean, you see what Delphus St. John's did in the tournament last year, right? They had a rough regular season.
The
MAC is an absolute grind, but they won just enough games. They get in with the expanded playoffs. They win multiple games in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They make a run. Now, how much fun, though, would it to be to see if you're, let's say you're a team like Shawnee, you're trying to build up, you have a new coach.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go play Adelphus St. John's team, right? It's a Division 7, Division 3, not normally a matchup you'd see. Shawnee maybe doesn't get the most out of – they have the most to lose, right? If you lose that game,
you lose to a Division 7, you don't look good.
You get a chance to challenge yourself. I mean, they already play LCC. You get a chance to challenge yourself against a really good MAC school with a rich in tradition. You have New Bremen. You have, like, I think those mid-range – we all know, like, St. Mary's, Walpock, you know, going against a Minster or a Coldwater or fun. A Mary Local would be fun games to watch, right?
Right.
But I think those mid-game – those you would get such such a good idea about where your program's at, because the MAC – quite frankly, is a measuring stick right now for everybody else.
I tell you this, though. Early in the year, and I'm one of those teams, and they want to match me up against St. Mary's, no way, because they run the football so well, right? Well, and they will grind you up, especially if you're not ready to be physical in week one.
That's what I have. I have four matchups that I picked. Coldwater, St. Mary's, I think would be awesome. I just think that would be a great game. Marion Local, Wapak, obviously we saw it 2 years in a row. It was just epic games, just maybe the best games in the area. Defiance, Minster, contrasting styles.
Yeah, new coach at Defiance this year.
And then the one I picked, they've been playing the last couple of years, is Bath and New Bremen, and they've been playing really good football. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know if I'd want to play the Bath team this year.
Oh, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, they're going to take a big step forward, I think.
They should.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. Oh, yeah, they're from the booth. Oh, you want me to do a segment just for another 15 minutes?
Just by
myself. By myself. I think they want me to do one by myself.
This is the official transition from three wise men to the wise men.
Oh, thank you. It's in my earpiece. Thank you, Nicholas. When they're talking, please try to. Yeah, I appreciate it. Just kidding, guys.
It's a fun bit. It's a fun bit you do. We really enjoy it. It's a fun bit. No, it's funny. Hey, it's really funny.
You know what's going to be fun? Next week, Brady, Kenny Stabler coming on the show.
Season
the
finale.
Snake and the baby snake coming on the show.
Yeah. And Nate's going to get to sit in chair number one. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Congratulations.
I get to go back because I started off in the all by myself on one side of the table. Well, the moment we got a TV screen in front of us, all of a sudden, well, what if I sit up here? And then he just took over.
I'm more concerned about the hate letters from the Ohio State fans coming in. Yeah.
We're good.
Also, on our last episode, the season finale, we're going to play a new game. Whoever is watching, if you can pick the exact minute of the show where Nate loses his mind, we have to go to Little Debbie. You're going to win a prize.
Well, they get the show sheet ahead of time, and it says anything about quarterback naming for Ohio State, they'll be able to nail it.
Join us next week right here on the Three Wise Men.